Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
So I'm just thinking about when I was young. Who was the first...
All those years ago.
I mean, 47 years old.
You don't look a day over 48.
I've been trying to drink lots of water lately because Ange keeps saying to me, man, you've got to drink more water, buddy, because... You know, you got to vitalize yourself more.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was my coffee cup. I just opened and closed.
I know. You're just obsessed with making just noises fucking, on this
just
podcast
to, just
lately.
To annoy everybody.
I have to take all of your noise making utensils away. Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Literally, we had it. We did this on Instagram a while back now, and people are like, "No, Mitch, just no." So people are on my side on that.
Yeah,
so.
I don't care. I don't want to be like everybody else. But Nina Cherry, you know, no money man to bring my love, it's sweetness that I'm thinking of. And she was probably one of the first females that I ever saw, you know, as a young man that I was like, fuck, you wouldn't want to mess with her. You know what I mean? But also following her career, she was, you know, an amazing... she fought for women's rights. She wasn't a feminist. You wouldn't call her a feminist, but very, very switched on and intelligent young woman. And then, but also sexy and intelligent, which is just, I just love, because they just exude power, was a Sade. You know, I remember listening to Sade years ago and thinking, Jesus, there is something
about her,
the intelligence of her lyrics, you know, her voice was just so melodic and enticing. It was just
how she portrayed herself.
Yeah,
as well,
yeah.
Right?
And she was also one of these women that, you know, and then the Eurythmics, you know, Annie Lennox.
Like the Eurythmics.
Eurythmics, yeah. Annie Lennox. What did I say?
I don't know. You said
the Eurythmics.
Dick Smith.
I didn't say Dick Smith. I said the Eurythmics.
Say it again.
Fuck off. Anyway, so, but I think that was really, they were just such, it was great growing up.
Sorry.
Can you just get your fucking shit together? Jesus.
Go ahead. It was great growing up.
And observing, you know, because I, you know, my parents were born in the 40s, so my mum was, you know, went through the 50s and then was a 50s housewife. And the man was always the person who seemed to be out the front. It was a real... Lioness situation, but whenever anything was wrong, it was always my mum we went to. Even in the family, my mum would pull everybody together, the conversation would be had, because the feminine energy, no matter what went on, the masculine when I was growing up was there for the purpose of reproduction, protection, you know, and the feminine energy was really the one that called the shots. And it was really evident in my household that whenever major shots had to be called, whenever my father had to make major decisions, it was really my mum's influence that
helped make that decision. But with my grandparents, yeah.
But it seemed that, you know, I've spent my time making sure, and I suppose in some ways I've kind of done it right and I've kind of done it wrong. There is no right and wrong. There's no right way to do it. But with the girls, trying to get the girls to understand, you know, who they are, you know, the fact that they should not subordinate, you know, do not subordinate to other people's rules. You know, understand that the universe is your greatest guide and the universe is inside of you, and you've got to understand that stuff. And because it's, you know, society was kind of set up to get people to subordinate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And women seem to really suffer from that when I was growing up, you know. But the emergence in the 80s of these women, you know, who influenced me, you know, as through music, it was great to see that happen, you know, where women were starting to take back their respect and starting to, you know, step into who they were, understand their position in life, encourage other women to understand their position in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no money man to get my love. It's sweetness that I'm looking for. It's the essence of who you are that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that attracts us. So I think what I want to do is talk a little bit about that today in terms of females. How have you found that? I mean, you're a female. How have you found that?
Thanks for noticing.
That's okay.
Do you think...
I do.
Do you think
yes,
that there's
as
a
often as
difference?
Possible.
Like, do you think intentionally, unintentionally, that there's a difference between how you approach Ollie than how you approach the girls in terms of?
Well, I'm always saying, "Come on, girls," and Andrew look at me and go, "And boys," and I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay, and boys." I'm not. It's kind of. I'm not. I don't know what it is. I'm a boy. I'm not worried about Ollie as a boy. You know, I keep coming in and catching him watching a cartoon on the screen. What are you watching?
Oh my God, it's like his.
And he's watching Barbie.
Like I know. And then he's got this little shy look on his face.
And I'm like, why are you watching Barbie? And then when he's at school around his friends, like he's four, he'll go, "Oh, my dad likes pink." And I'm like, "I love the color pink." Ew. And all the other kids will come up and go, "Ew." And I say, "I love pink. What are you guys going on about? I absolutely love the color pink. I want a pink car. I want pink socks." And, you know, but when he's at home, you know, he does everything with the girls, yeah. You know, like, and he's one of the girls, you know what yeah. I mean? But I know he's also a very boy boy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And where, you know, one of the kids that hangs out with us, he's very clearly, you know, he's very clearly gay. You just know, like that's how he's been born.
Grow up.
I'm not stereotyping him. That's fucking how it is. You know?
Oh, well, he told me his favorite movie was The Sound of Music. And he told Lola that he really likes the way Auntie Millie smells. So the fact that he notices things like that is definitely. Yeah. His mum knows that. His dad knows that as well already.
Yeah, they're lovely kids.
But I think that's not the question I was asking. Do you think that you treat them differently, consciously or subconsciously, because there are boys and girls?
Well, I think, yes, I do. And I think that that's just a natural thing. But I'm conscious about wanting the girls to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm conscious about wanting the girls to have a voice without shouting. Mm. I'm conscious about wanting to be empowered naturally,
mm-hmm.
because that's something that it's not natural for you to yell and get angry to try to have your power or mm-hmm. your place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it's not sustainable to continue to expelling energy fighting for your fucking corner. If you see a boxer in a ring, there's only so many rounds he can go. You know, where when you are just empowered and you just have energy.
And it comes
energy,
from within, yeah.
Yeah, and you just understand who you are. You exude that.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, we want to talk a little bit about that in terms of the fact that I think that right from a young age, I think we have different expectations. Now, this may not be right or wrong for every single person, but I think whether it's conscious or subconscious, we may have different expectations on our kids depending mm-hmm. on whether they're male or female, depending on what – because I noticed that and I want to talk about it in terms of boys as well, just because we're talking about – I want to talk about girls, but I want to talk about the boys as well. But I don't identify myself as someone who's a feminist as such, but I feel like it's important to have an understanding that the way that you are with girls and versus the way that we are with boys is we have to take into consideration the effect of how we communicate, because like if a boy goes out and starts to be really quite vocal and stands up for themselves and puts their foot down and says this is what's what, we kind of appreciate that a little bit in a boy. But when a girl does it, we see that I've noticed even in my own family and with people I'm around that the girl will be labelled as bossy. Mm. And there seems to be sort of like a negative connotation to it, regardless of whether that's intentional or not. Does that make sense? And so,
but that can happen to boys as well.
100%, 100%. So, but I'm wondering whether when we get some of these messages, like I know for me growing up, with the very best of intentions, the boys were considered differently than girls. Because girls were meant to kind of not – I don't think it was intentional that the girls were meant to subordinate, but the girls – like my – like the family's goal for me was to get to a point where I would do my duty as a woman, which would be to get married and have children and mm-hmm. raise children.
Mm-hmm.
And that responsibility meant that a lot of other – responsibilities were handed over to another, somebody else, a guy, right? So there was a definite direction, intentional or unintentional, about what women do and how they hold themselves, etc. Do you know what I mean? There's kind of like a little bit of emphasis on perhaps subordinating. And I remember when your girls were little, that both Ange and I had conversations with you about, like, you know, when the girl says, when it doesn't matter whether it's a girl or boy, but because particularly you had two girls at the time, it was like, if you're tickling them and they say stop, then you got to stop, right? And that's because they have to understand their own power. They have to understand that they have control over who they are, their bodies, their experiences. Yeah. And if one important person, important male in their life doesn't get that, then what happens when their teenage boyfriend wants to ask them to do something they're not comfortable doing? They haven't learned the pattern of being empowered and being okay to say no.
What they've learned if they want to do it, then you have to just.
Or you have to do it because that's somebody that's a male that's overpowering or whatever. So right from the get-go, your girls were empowered to make their own decisions and to say what was what for themselves. And your girls are very vocal about saying to you, "Dad, I said." And no, stop. Don't do that. Like it might be telling a joke, or it might be
chasing,
or it might be whatever. Yeah. And if you forget, or if something happens, your girls are very vocal.
But same with Ollie. I mean, Ollie will come over, and I'll be wrestling with him, or tickling him, or whatever. And you know, he just loves karate, so he's always wanting to beat me up. And then he will stop, and he'll do it, and with a bit of a snigger on his face because he knows he's got the power. And he'll stop and put his hand out in front of me and go, "Stop! I don't like it," you know. And then I'll go, "Okay, Ollie, I'll stop." And then I go, "I don't like it," and then I'll sit and go, "Okay, now pretend you're asleep." That and I'm then he does back on and beat me up again. But it's very, because later in life, when we're bred to subordinate, we do stupid shit. Like, we subordinate to bank tellers, we subordinate to fucking shop owners,
but
we
subordinate to
businesses, to brokers, to fucking, you know, lawyers, police officers. Like, we subordinate to police officers, not realizing fucking the policing organization is there to protect the elite. They're not there to fucking protect you. They don't give a shit about you. They're there to protect the elite. So we are naturally bred to subordinate to them. You know, I saw a great thing happen the other day where a guy was literally saying to the cops, "Prove to me that you are not a corporation. Prove to me that you are not a corporation. The police force is a corporation. Prove to me that." And the guy, they couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So, there's now it's becoming, as we become more empowered and information is more accessible to us, we need to understand how to perform and how to conduct ourselves under those situations are high pressure situations.
So what happens is that when we have these perceptions growing up that we don't have power, and we are not taught that, we grow up into women who feel like we don't have a right to say what we need to say. You know, I'm recommending this book to everybody. It's called Untamed, right? Stop Pleasing, Start Living. It's by Glennon Doyle. And she talks a lot about that, about there's a time where we subordinate, we become used to being a particular way to please other people. But what happens is that we grow up and we don't end up being able to do the things that we love or being able to stand up for ourselves in a way. One of the biggest things for me is really helping people, you know this, helping people with their money, right? Yeah. But in particular, helping women become empowered with their money, because what happens is that so many people, when we first meet them, they say, no, my husband takes care of all of that. My husband manages all of that. And women don't recognize the innate power that they have within them, that actually it's them that holds the power.
Well, you got to just be aware of that statement. It's them. That everybody holds power.
Of course.
But there are certain things that men can, like, the reason I say all the time, don't let men near money. Right, is you just have to look around the world. Just look around the world. Just look at corporations, look at what's gone on. And now I say women are the ones that should handle the money. And the reason women it should handle the money is because they deal with high-end stress situations very differently to how a man deals with it. Emotionally, they're able to, they have higher sweeping highs and sweeping lows, and because of that, they're able to manage it differently.
Yeah.
Another thing is women bleed. Now, people think, what the fuck do you mean by that? I mean exactly literally. That. Literally, women bleed. So emotionally, they're able, their bodies naturally have that drive to pull them up and pull them down. They're able to regulate better. They're able to make choices without dragging the emotion into it. Does that make sense? Because they're able to regulate it. And that's just a natural part of who they are. Mm-hmm. That's why women should always handle the money. Mm-hmm. And they should be encouraged to handle the money and empowered to handle the money. And it doesn't mean that handling the money doesn't mean that they have the money. It means that they're handling the money.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? But people think, when I say to them, oh, you got to let the woman handle the money. I'll sit down with a couple and say, she's got to handle the money. I have to say to him, I'm not saying she has to have all the money. I'm saying that she has to be the person that manages it because she'll master it quicker than you. She manages emotions better than you and regulates emotions better than you. That's biology. Mm-hmm. She regulates emotions better than you. Therefore, she'll be more poised when it comes to your financial future as opposed to being easily poisoned and drawn to the left and the right. They will have a deeper connection with their vision and where it is they want to get to and how to get there, as opposed to, because, you know, it's like, it's kind of a primal thing. You know, men had one thing: get out of the cave, kill the deer and get the fucking deer back to the cave to feed everybody. Where women had to go out and forage, they didn't communicate they communicated a lot better. Mm-hmm. They talked to each other and they would go in groups. So as they went in groups, they were less likely to be attacked because there was more of them. Men would go out quietly, not say anything. They didn't communicate very well. So they're not communicating the problems with the finances. Yeah. And instead of it being a fucking deer that you're trying to bring home, it's money you're trying to bring home. And you're not communicating with your wife about the money, where a female will be more likely to communicate with a male about the money, as opposed to a male being more likely to communicate with the female about the money, because the male thinks my job is to bring in the money, and that's feels not like your job. Feels like a fucking failure if they're not bringing that in, or if they're fucking it up. And it's easier for the banks of eternities to try to entice a more male dominated area around money, which is completely incorrect.
So when we talk about women in terms of empowerment, in terms of them being able to do certain things that are different, like I know that, like, I don't know about other people, right? But I've noticed there's a few people in my circle that, you know, if they were to go for a home loan, or if they were to go and buy a new car, or if they were to go, that they would feel, some of them would feel uncomfortable. They feel like they need somebody else there. And I'm not talking about like, for example, I would ask you about a car, but not because I feel like I can't deal with it. I'd ask you because I don't know enough about cars. Yep. Does that make sense? But when it's time to go and buy a car, I'll go buy the car. I can do that. But there's some people that don't do that and don't know how to do that. What would you talk to them about in terms of understanding and finding that empowerment within to be able to recognize that you know, that they have what it takes inside of them. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
and I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about money, asking for a pay raise, doing, like, there's certain things that women that I've noticed that women around at the moment that's been a little bit of an issue.
Well, I think the first thing is you have to get the point across to someone that what you have is an allowance sufficient. It's not that you haven't got what it takes. It's that you have got what it takes and you just haven't located that you've got what it takes. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So you're not deficient of anything. Mm-hmm. You have what is required. The reason you're nervous is, and you subordinate, is because you think the person you're going to has more than what you have.
So do you think that's a woman issue or do you think that's a human issue?
I think it's a human issue, right. But I think...
That subordination thing where you're like...
That's a human issue.
That it depends because perhaps the woman doesn't necessarily subordinate when it comes to things that she values. Is that what you're talking about? Right.
That's right.
And I think that's an important point.
But if you're saying to someone, okay, it's not about going to get the money... or going to the bank to get the money. It's about the fact that you want to get a roof over your kid's fucking head.
So now, figure out a way to do it in that relates to your values and then you'll go and do it.
Yeah, of course. You won't get in your own way. You know, you will go and get what you want.
Right.
As long as you connect it with your values.
Right.
And nobody, like, it's funny. I watch people walk into banks and they subordinate to bank tellers.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like no, they have your fucking money. You're paying their wage. They can't sit in that chair behind that glass.
Without you.
You have them employed. They work for you, but people act as if you work for them, mm-hmm. as if it's fucking a noble thing to give them your fucking money. It's like, what are you talking about? This is crazy levels of subordination.
So I think that that's a really good point. I think that the understanding that that concept of subordination is actually more important than making it a male or a female thing.
That's right.
That it's not that there are females that are struggling with that, but just that by the same token, there are those same females will not struggle over here with something that is of high value or something that they've connected to their value.
That's right.
And then by the same token, a male won't struggle with something that they connect with their values, but they will in areas of not the things that aren't their values.
That's
because
right.
they will perceive to subordinate to someone who they perceive has that they want to get approval from in some way, whether it's an organization or whether it's...
But a lot of the time it's a complete fucking stranger.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Why you fucking don't even know this person.
Yeah.
You know, why would you do that? And that's because... You know, people raise their, you know, we're bred. We've spoken this before about the fact that we're bred like racehorses.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same fucking thing. We're bred to not have any confidence.
Mm.
You know, but that's no one's fault. You can't blame, oh, they never instilled confidence. No, you never instilled confidence.
Yeah, that you have to take responsibility.
You've
got to
take responsibility. Nobody's doing that to you. Yeah. You're doing that to you.
Yeah.
No, and in fact, finding... your areas of confidence is the most wonderful thing. It's the most amazing thing, you know. Stopping and stepping into that part of yourself and feeling that for the first time, it's like doing yoga for the first time. You're like, oh, fuck, hello, I got a fucking body, fuck. Mm. You know, wow, I've never felt I had a body, you know, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like yesterday I'm with one of my buddies and I'm at the gym and we're stretching out and I've had a fucking terrible shoulder problem for a couple of years now and it's just getting better. And, you know, you're stretching out and you're like, fuck, you know, that sensation of just relaxing into your body, being able to put your arms flat on the ground and just relax into it. It's exactly the same with your emotional self. It's exactly the same thing that you go through when you start to think about who you are and what you bring to the table and what your abilities are and what your qualities are, what your traits, your characteristics. When you lean into that and you start to feel that sense of appreciation for yourself, it's like, oh, you know, fuck, I have got what it takes to handle this.
Right.
I don't need them. They fucking need you.
Yes.
You know, remember, without you, they're nothing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's you have to understand. And that's same with people and you know, raising kids. They want to instill self-worth into their kids. But without you having self-worth, they're nothing.
That doesn't do anything.
They have fucking nothing. Mm. So your job is not to instill self-worth into your kids. Your job is to live your own self-worth and show your children how to do exactly the same thing.
So can I ask you a question then that's just come up that why then are you so adamant that your girls feel empowered and do feel like, because that has been a big thing for you. You want them to own who they are, understand who they are, respect who they are, and all of your kids understand that they put themselves first and that number one in their lives is them, right?
Yeah.
But why are you so adamant about that with the girls, do you think?
Because I think this world is changing. You know, I think where we're heading, history has left lots of evidence and clues lying all over the place. We need to fucking look and see that this world is changing and they need to be prepped to be able to handle the world. I want the girls to be able to handle themselves physically. I want the girls to be able to take on any physical situation as well as emotional situation. If I want them to defend themselves physically, I want them to defend themselves emotionally. If I want them to be able to manage themselves physically and handle themselves physically, then I want them to be able to handle themselves emotionally and intelligently and understand that your fucking, your intelligence is exactly the same as your physical way to be able to handle yourself. You got to know how to handle your hands, because this world we're heading into is a very, very different world. I've watched people, you know, when you're around people who you look at their physical stature and you, like, I'll put it to you this way. 20 years ago, you could get into a fight in a pub, right? And you'd watch a brawl in a pub and guys would be swinging their arms everywhere. Nowadays, fuck, man, you can't. You cannot underestimate anybody. Mm-hmm. You cannot walk into a pub and pick a fight with someone, because you could be talking to someone now who's very well trained in mixed martial arts, and in 2 minutes you could be out cold on the ground. Mm-hmm. And
which would likely happen.
Which would likely happen with me. And that's because of...
So you're saying physically they don't necessarily represent what that...
Yeah, but when you go and learn a martial art, right, a proper martial art, teaches you never to get yourself in that situation,
mm-hmm.
right? But martial arts is also exercising your emotional intelligence. Does that make sense? Being able to read the room, you know, being able to see that situation where, you know, you're looking at someone and the boyfriend catches you and he's a bit of a fucking lunatic and he's like, oh, what are you looking at my missus? And you go, I'm really sorry, you know. You remind me, are you Mary Jones? No, I'm not. Oh, no, I went to school with a Mary Jones that looks exactly like you. I'm really sorry. I didn't realise that. Do you understand? I actually, for a minute there, I thought you were my wife, because my wife has exactly the same frock as you. It's just, I'm really sorry, mate. So now you're intelligently defusing situations.
Apart from the fact that you just used the word frock that nobody's used in like 70
people
years.
Wear frocks, fuck off. People wear frocks all the time.
Go on.
But do you understand my point? Is now they teach you how to... how to understand your body as well as your intelligence as well as your emotional self. Yeah. You know, martial arts these days have moved away from this whole sensei thing, you know, this whole fucking cult.
Oh, Karate Kid's gone then.
Yeah, it's gone. This whole cult, like, you know, oh, you're my sensei and fucking, you know, yes, sensei, no sensei. It's moved away from that. Mm. Now it's about camaraderie, people working together. There is no leader. Everybody learns from each other. That's where we're headed.
So you're saying, but this is a long-winded way maybe of you saying that what you're doing is you wanting to teach your kids to have that whole aspect, to be able to understand that they can hold and have that strength physically, but also to have it emotionally, to be intelligent that way.
Yeah.
Do you feel then that you do that differently with Ollie than you do with the girls?
With Ollie, I think... Like, Ollie's he's just different to the girls. Like, you know, we sent both of the girls to a Montessori school, which had its pros and its cons. And now what I'm seeing is, at a level, we've moved. Lexi came to me one day and said, look, I want to move schools. Because she came from a public school. She was getting, like, she wasn't happy. She was coming out.
So glad you moved her away.
And I was watching her coming out and she was fucking unhappy. And I'm like,
her spirit was deflated.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that to my kid. I fucking went through that stuff. My parents couldn't afford it. I was in a public school with fucking priests and Christian brothers. And, you know, I'm sorry for the language, but they were motherfuckers.
Yeah, but I don't think, it was just that her spirit was getting squished.
Of course. That system back then, you know, they just come out of corporal punishment.
Mm.
But we were still getting whacked. Kids were still getting fucking hit.
You know,
my headmaster was a fucking pedophile. Like, he was a pedo. He was feeling up the kids in front of the teachers. The teachers fucking never did anything about it. And this was this whole subordination thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just bullshit.
Yeah.
And when I saw Lexi coming out of that school and I saw her deflated, I knew I can afford not to have this happen. Yeah. So I put her into a private school, into a Montessori school. And Lexi's very fine motor skills. Very
creative,
you know, very out there.
I was going to say,
you know,
that,
like really, ba-bam, this is what you get when you get Alexi. So I needed to play into that. But that played out for a certain amount of time within the Montessori system.
Then allowed her to develop who she was.
Yes.
But then it was time.
Then it was time to move into the intellectual system. So we moved her in there. And
She's blossomed, hasn't
she? She's blossomed, done really well. And then we've got her some private tutoring as well, because when they go from that system to that system, they have to click.
I always had that with the kids that came from Montessori, but especially Steiner. But when they came into the mainstream...
Well, fucking Steiner's another level of fucking cuckoo.
But when they came into mainstream, they really struggled a bit.
Yeah, but it really helped to do that, really helped to, her with that. But now, now she's thriving, which is great. So we just had our results back this week, which is on par, which is great. Then... the next thing that happened was with Lola, and now over the past year, I've started to watch Lola, and she's like, I'm not happy, Dad, I'm upset, I don't like, and she's in a Montessori school. Mm. And she wants, kids want to get into that systemized education.
They want to learn. She wants to learn.
She wants to learn because she's feeling, and she said, I'm feeling embarrassed that I'm going to go into this new school, because we're moving her into her college now. Feeling embarrassed that she's going to move into this new school. So we're going to get her some help through the summer. We're going to get her some private lessons and get her to intellectually catch up, because she's really quick.
Yeah.
Lola's quick. Ollie, on the other hand, Ollie's a bit different to the girls. Mm-hmm. This is neither plus nor minus, but he's quite intelligent. Does that make sense? Like he's quite intelligent. It's strange.
I don't know if intelligence is the right word. I feel like he's switched on almost. It's almost like he picks up on things. Yeah. Lexi was always a little bit in Lexiland. Yeah. You know, she would always be away in her imagination.
Yeah.
Lola was just a different kid as well. But Ollie feels like he's just – it's almost like he's on to it. Mm. Like if he picks something up, he hears it and he's on to it and he's there, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just have to play to that strength. So I think every kid has to be treated differently.
But you don't feel that you deal with it differently with because he's a boy.
I just deal with it one way, another way, and another way.
Depending on
individual kids.
Right. So then one more question then. In understanding that the girls need to, because I think we understand that the girls, I know that you want to have them physically understanding their own power as well as emotionally, because we all assume that girls would emotionally maybe understand their power but maybe not understand it physically. Mm-hmm. Do you do the same with Ollie in making sure that even though he physically – because Ollie's a very physical child.
Yeah.
Like he wants to play, do the karate, run around, do all sorts of – you know, he's quite physical.
Yeah.
Do you do the same thing with him emotionally? Do you make sure that emotionally –
Ange is probably a little bit better than I am. You know, like Ange will come over and say, you know, like Ange schools me on this shit all the time. Like, because I'm emotionally, I come from three boys.
Well, that's also Irish.
And and don't take that wrong. I mean, I am fucking Irish, so I can say just say what I say. It's not the same with every Irish
family,
but in my Irish family, it came from that. You know, my father's one of fucking 25. And it's so where you're come from a stereotypical thing of, you know, like a cockroach will reproduce stacks, live shorter, you know, that's where we came from. That was our breeding.
Right.
Does that make sense? So I think that emotionally, you know, there wasn't a lot of emotional intelligence when I was growing up. Emotions were something that were fucking...
Yeah, off somewhere else.
This is nuts and bolts, motherfucker. It's not emotions don't play into that. Does that make sense? My father was, this is a nuts and bolts world.
Mm-hmm.
You understand, son? It's a nuts and bolts world where emotions didn't play a role in that. Does that make sense? Like my father said, tell me, you know, he said to me numerous times, he said, I never remember my father telling me he loved me, but I knew he loved me. He said, and I never remember my father holding my hand, but I knew he loved me. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was never said, and verbalizing that stuff's really important. So how you verbally handle the situation, like Ollie will have a SPAC attack. You know, if he's hungry, he will fucking like, oh my God, this never, you know, I just want my food. And just, you'll say, okay, Ollie, we're making you some eggs. Oh, fucking no, I don't want eggs. I'm not going to eat that. And then you give it to him. It's like 2 seconds later, he's like, oh. That was But if mum wasn't there, I'd be like, get into your room. You know, I know I would. And my thing with Ollie is Ollie, one more time, and you and I are going to go into that room and we're going to have a talk. And then he'll come, okay, I'll come good, you know. But I have to let him be okay with expressing that stuff and getting that stuff out. Mm. And you look at me and go, he's not giving you a hard time. He's fucking having a hard time, so don't get mad.
It's funny how you deal with it differently with the girls than you do with him, and that'd probably be something to be mindful of, because they pick up, because Ange picks up, the girls will pick up a lot of the strength stuff from Ange because they watch their mum do it.
Mm.
So, you know, Ange is really good like that. because she makes sure that when, you know, when you guys are driving, if you're in your car, you drive. But if you're in her car, she drives.
Yeah.
Like she makes sure that, no, you're not driving just because you're the guy. This is my car. This is my space. I'm going to drive the car. Of course, and if the girls are doing something.
I don't want to drive her.
No, but if the girls are doing something, she'll often say, no, mummy's strong. Mummy, like she, like I remember when she was younger, obviously, when the kids were younger, but she would encourage that and express the strength with with the girls as well.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be important for you to maybe express so he can see that male physical, like the male emotional thing as well.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you do it sometimes, but that probably is something to think
about.
Like
we're just about to get, a boxing bag in the gym because I want to teach the girls more about, you know, I've taught the girls how to box. I've taught the girls how to handle themselves, you know.
Yeah.
I've done that. But now as they're getting older now, I want them, you know, I bring Ollie into the gym with me all the time. I bring Lexi Lola in the gym because I want them to see that their parents work out, their parents exercise. Does that make sense? Because you fucking need to let them know that that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. So that's
but
that's,
but the same goes for the emotional side for the boys.
100%. 100%.
So that's a little homework exercise for you, Mitchie.
Yes, go on, dear.
That was a good convo. We talked a lot about the kids. Mm. I love those kids.
Yeah, they're great kids. They're little shits as well. Don't fucking think they're not. They're little farts,
no, they're great.
Yeah, they're really
you can
lovely.
Think they're little shits. Auntie Millie can love them. Just
little shizers.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.